The following interview was conducted on behalf of the Oral History Program of the Washington County Museum and Century High School. The interviewee is Donna Lynn. The interviewer is Chris Lynn. The interview took place on May 29th of year 2001. What were teachers teaching about as the war while it was going on?
Our world history teachers would talk about it. There was an underlying tension about the war. Feelings ran strongly both ways, pro and con, for and against the war. And so teachers kind of, you know, were very careful, kind of in a third person type, you know, well, what do you think? What, you know, these are the decisions they're making. If you could make decisions, what would you, you know, how would you go about changing, or, you know, they were just very, very careful as to what they said, or how much they said, because, like I said, there were a lot of strong feelings both ways, and of course we were in high school.
Right.
We had, you know, as a female, it wasn't as I'm trying to think of the word, but it affected us, but not as directly as being a male, because they had the draft to look at.
Right, right. What did you feel? And you mentioned the teachers talked in third person. What was your reaction? How did you feel?
I didn't want there to be a war. I mean, no one wants a war. It was scary. It was, at times I thought that it was, what we were doing was right, and I, you know, I still defend what our government did. But at the time, you know, there was all that loss of lives. And that really bothered me.
Mm-hmm. How did you react to that?
The loss of lives? Yeah. I was saddened. I mean, I knew friends that were going to go over there.
Yeah.
When they graduated, that was it, you know, or had graduated. You know, and there was a lot of people didn't believe in it and protested.
Mm-hmm.
I was never involved in that directly.
I see.
But, you know, it's always sad when you know there's going to be loss of lives.
True. What was the student reactions? Like, did they change the dress or hairstyle?
Well, you always have the dissident few that are... You're going to have the ones that, you know, dress in the khaki clothing and, you know, the camouflage clothing and things like that. But, no, we were hippies. I mean, you know, we were in, you know, into flower power and you know, short skirts and, you know, bandanas on our heads, you know. Really, the one thing that sticks out is the MIA bracelets. It seemed like everybody was wearing the MIA bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, at any one time, I would have at least five on. And then as we would get confirmation that they had either been found or, you know, whatever. You know, an MIA bracelet is missing in action. And when they would find that person, whether he be dead or alive or in a prison camp, when that person was located, then the bracelet was, they had like a central place that you were supposed to take them or send them. And that's what we did, you know. And I'm sure I've still got like, you know, probably two or three still around.
Hey, do you know some of those people who you wore the bracelets for?
The what?
Some of the people that you wore the bracelets for.
Do I know them? Oh, I'd have to look.
They were like
one was, I remember one. His name was Robert G. Donay. And he was a lieutenant. And I never ever did find...
No? You didn't find him?
No. In fact, I know I still have his bracelet somewhere, but... he never, we never did find him. Another one was, Michael Lewis, Captain Michael Lewis, I think, or something like that. Lewis was the last name. And they did find him. He did die. They did find him. He was missing in action. They later found out that he was, killed in a crash.
Okay. Some students would have rebelled at the time. In other words, they were opposing...
People who were being drafted, young men who were being drafted that didn't want to be.
Yeah, how did they rebel?
Usually by going to Canada. Or going somewhere where there wasn't extradition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they couldn't be brought back into the United States, but then they weren't allowed after the war was over. If you went to Canada, that was it.
You weren't allowed back.
No, because as soon as you came back, you were a deserter, and you were court-martialed as such, or put in jail, or, you know... whatever they, at that time, decided was your punishment.
Hmm.
I mean, it wasn't just leaving the country, oh boy, you know, and coming back when the war was over. That wasn't what it was. You were going to pay for leaving the country. And I'm not sure, but... I couldn't tell you which president, but I do know that they were allowed back in. I couldn't tell you who.
You don't remember the president, but...
No.
We'll find out.
I didn't say my brain was that good, did I?
Yeah, that's okay. And to what extent, to what point did some men just enlist voluntarily? When did they actually accept the draft?
A lot that, you know, I mean, wants to go to war willingly. I don't think anybody really just says, oh boy, I want to go to war. There may be a few, but I mean a majority of people or young men have reservations. They may join up because of patriotic duty or whatever, but you know, the thought of dying was not thrilling,
right,
to anybody. And I mean, once you went over there, I think your tour was a year. And you were lucky if you lasted, you know, the first week. I mean, so I'm, you know, yes, there was a lot of apprehension is a good word.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people signed up. Yes, they did sign up and they weren't accepted. I mean, if you went in, if you enlisted,
mm-hmm.
when you got back, things were not, oh, wow, you fought in the war, we're really proud of you. I mean, you got spit on, you got hit.
These were like how they were treated after they were returned.
Yes. I mean, they just, it wasn't, you didn't get the hero's welcome. Not like in World War I or World War II. You didn't get a hero's welcome. And that was wrong. And I think that scared a lot of, a lot of young men.
Were there any activities or something done about that?
There were drives, petitions, to stop the war. To find our missing men, I honestly tried to stay out of a lot of it. I really did. It's bad to say, but I just, I was one of those very afraid of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's understandable. How did life in Hillsborough change from before the war ever started to during the war?
To me, it really didn't, other than like the, the drives, wearing the bracelets. I mean, there really wasn't
that much change.
Not that, no, I wouldn't say so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I worked in a drugstore. What can I say? It was kind of a,
yeah.
We weren't in the middle of the war, let me tell you, So, as you're asking about,
yeah, did people change?
I mean, there were, different things that went on, dances,
right,
and stuff like that, and the veterans would come back and you'd hear all this stuff, but no, I can't really say, you want me to point out specific things and I can't.
That's okay, that's fine. The public opinion of the war, did that change over time? Like some
people, like I said, there were people that believed in the war and people that didn't believe in the war, and there were people that spoke out strongly,
like
both
how?
Ways. I mean, I know there were times, we'd be, in the middle of Hillsborough and people would be arguing, well, I think this is wrong. I know they're wrong to, do that. No, they're right to do that. They should be sending over that many more. No, they shouldn't, I mean, verbal disagreements. It was a very sensitive subject. It was one that, you tried to steer clear of. That was the best thing to do. So, was just that there was it was a subject you wanted to stay away from.
Okay. You mentioned you worked in a drugstore. The drugstore? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did the prices change? Like, for example, the economy? Did that change over the war? Because I thought, like, the government would raise prices or something like that to get revenue. Would you know anything about that?
Let's put it this way. Guy I worked for, he was always raising the prices. I don't think it would have mattered if there was a war or not, but, yeah, I would say things did get, it did get raised. Prices did go up, at least from, you know, from my point of view. Different things that you wanted to buy, you know, yeah, because it was, you know, you're talking about funding a war effort.
Right, right.
You know, and it boosts the economy, and, I mean, you know, we hate to say that, but when there's a war, the economy's boosted, and of course, things go up, and people are buying more, and, you know.
It was really significant, the price increase.
Hey. Any price increase to you know, someone in high school and, you know, and things like that, yeah, it's going to be an increase that's, is going to be tough.
the anti-war and pro-war demonstrations.
Did what?
The pro-war or anti-war demonstrations, how did they affect you?
I was never personally involved in them. Mm-hmm. I'd seen them.
Right.
That I know of, they really didn't happen in Hillsborough. I know they did happen in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Hillsborough, I don't ever remember any demonstration. You know, I mean, like I said earlier, there were people that would get upset and would, you know, you'd hear this verbal argument, but as far as demonstrations, no, more into Portland, and I stayed away from Portland.
Okay. The young men that were drafted and knew that were going to be going to war, how were those people treated?
The young men that went into it?
Well, the men that knew they were going to war, the ones that were drafted, how were they treated before they left?
There was a lot of pressure to avoid the draft. Going to college, going to Canada, the ones that wanted to go, or, you know, actually wanted to do their their duty.
Mm-hmm.
They got slack. Flack, I should say. They, you know, people were more, you know, why are you doing this, and don't you know it's wrong, and, you know, stuff like that. Hmm. If you're asking, were they given the hero send-off? No, they weren't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not that I ever, you know, I mean.
Were there any programs set up when they returned to help them reintegrate?
I don't know. No. I can't honestly tell you. I know that after, not right after the war, but, you know, probably between 2 and 5 years, really, after the war, when they started finding out about, I think it's post-war syndrome or, whatever, after the war.
Mm-hmm.
When they started getting, finding out this was a reality, that people were having flashbacks and they were having problems, then you started hearing about different programs popping up. But I would, right after the war,
yeah,
or right, or even maybe during the war.
Were there any changes regarding school life that can be attributed to the war besides race and feminism? Were there any issues that were affected by the war?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I honestly couldn't.
Animal rights or stuff, or like what people thought of different things, or price increases, that type of stuff.
Probably, probably the price increases, but no, like you're saying, rising feminism. I just didn't. I tried to stay out of the war.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And for the closing, is there anything else that I have not asked you that you would like to relate regarding the Vietnam War or to me?
Hmm. No, it was just a bad time in American history. It really, the young men and women that were in it deserved more than they got. They gave more than they ever got. And if I had known then what I know now, I would have done more, or at least tried, because there were young men and women that went over there doing for their country, and their country turned their back on them, and that was wrong.
Agreed.
You don't ever do that. No matter how much you object to something, if you've got young men and women going out there and doing their patriotic duty, don't turn your backs on them. That's just not right. And, you and I may feel that the war was wrong, or the war was right. I mean, we had the Korean War, and then, we had the Vietnam War, and people say, well, they didn't want us there. Well, they needed help. I mean, we were very ill prepared. I mean, we went over there. They did things nobody had ever thought about. I mean, they had complete cities underneath the ground. How are we supposed to compete? I mean, not compete, but how are we supposed to deal with this? We had never fought an enemy like that.
Right.
So, you can look at it in hindsight, but That's about all I can tell you. I just, you know, I didn't fight over there. But I think the people that did, I have a lot of admiration for. Because they had the guts to do something I didn't. So, I don't know what else I can tell you, but...
Okay, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. End of program. Huh?